This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Another check-in with a lawmaker representing parts of Douglas County, 1st District State Representative Court Boyce, joining us live from Salem with the Oregon State Legislature, of course, well past the midpoint in this session. Court, good morning.
Kyle, good morning to you. Hey, 51 days left to taxpayer safety for Oregon, those that pay the bills.
Well, a lot going on to talk about. And, of course, one of the big national stories this morning regards the largest fentanyl bust in U.S. history, with 16 people arrested in five states. A cartel led, according to the Drug Enforcement Administration, by someone currently living in Salem. What was your response to hearing about that?
Well, in some ways, we should be surprised, Kyle. Some ways, we shouldn't be surprised. Oregon has basically said, we're going to be a sanctuary state. We're going to have several sanctuary cities. And so just absolutely grateful to the federal government and the Department of Justice. Heard Pam Bondi on news this morning. And, yeah, this is just gigantic. And we need to get these people out of Oregon, and we need to be prompt about it. And this hopefully is just a start. So, yes, to learn that that person is living just, you know, a few blocks from where I'm sitting now at the Capitol, it's just very good news. And we don't want our state leaders to tell the Trump administration and the Bondi Attorney General program that we're going to battle you on this. And so this is very good news and just an excellent arrest.
A lot of things happening in the legislature. One that has certainly been getting attention for quite a while regards the Oregon Department of Transportation, a proposed funding package, and the potential, at least for some taxes on a lot of different things to help fund ODOT. Where does that stand? What are your thoughts?
Well, our side is absolutely opposed to any fee increases, any raising of taxes, especially that hurts rural Oregon the most, as they tend to drive further to Oregon and to schools and all the above. And so our leadership, that we have come up with a great program to actually save. It's been refined a little bit, Kyle, from $720 million. To about $680 million. There's just some different things we can do there through a lot of job positions that we don't necessarily have to fill right now until we see what the revenue forecast is going to be, actually coming out in just less than a week. And those vacancies could save $69 million right there. There's just a variety of things that we have in a very detailed, comprehensive package that makes a lot of sense. We're hoping to get the other side, the Democrats, on board.
A few weeks back, among the many executive orders from the Trump administration, was one regarding expansion of federal lands for timber production. Obviously, you don't just snap a finger and everything changes all at once. Have you really seen any evidence of anything moving forward on that might impact federal force in Oregon?
You know, not enough to give us cause for enthusiasm, but certainly not pessimistic on this as well. I'm right in the middle of that, working with the Trump administration. Just will have today, actually, even though I'm about 6 weeks behind, just a follow-up to encourage them to not drop the ball there and to really take a serious look at Oregon, how we can rebuild the southern part of California after the L.A. fires. Our mills are ready to go. We just need to get them timber, and if nothing else, Kyle, that can come directly from the Bureau of Land Management, ONC Timberlands. There is so much forest growing there. I think we're finally starting to turn the corner to make sure that people understand we have so much timber here, and the powers that be don't want to cut trees, and they just get lax and then they watch it burn. And we can talk about fire history all day, and hopefully we're making some really valid progress there.
Well, and of course, related to that, we're getting closer by the day to the wildfire season for this year. Where do things stand on funding firefighters around Oregon with the Oregon Department of Forestry and their contractors this year, and avoiding kind of what happened last year with a lagging payment of folks?
you know, I started on that December. A lot of our side, of course, did. And then we had the L.A. fires, you know, how that impacted, you know, the fires we had last year, the 2024 season. And, of course, in sounding that alarm respectfully, we just we want everybody to know that, and I'll get to funding here in a minute, but we want everyone to know that we are likely headed for a very serious fire season. And so funding, you know, the federal government has got to take a much bigger role there. We believe with the Trump administration, the odds are improving that, that they will take that additional responsibility, perhaps even the lead. The Oregon Department of Forestry, we want to really be on guard not to let those men and women that keep us safe to lose some of their morale. It's just the conditions are up, and so we do have one bill, Kyle. It's 3940. It's a it's promoted and essentially supported by the bigger timber companies. They're going to pay a little bit more. We basically need to get the grazers and the forest land owners. They're doing most of the burden right now, and so we need to. If that means we've got to do a slight adjustment to the bottle bill, I know that's not a very popular thing, but neither we don't need any more Archie Creek fires, Labor Day fires where we lose hundreds of homes. And so we think we're on the right path there. And, yeah, thanks for bringing it up. We may be less than 3 weeks from the 2025 season. It was 76 degrees here in Salem yesterday, I think.
Yeah.
Right close to.
Yeah, 85 degrees here in Roseburg. And now, as well for this session of the legislature, both parties have talked a lot about helping the supply of housing in Oregon. Do you see anything that's going to really make a difference coming through the session so far?
You know, I actually testified with the governor and Kevin Mannix on his bill, 2316. It's essentially looking at state lands that could be available, that are basically dormant, could be available for development of homes. And I think that bill's going to go, and I was very glad to get the governor's support on that. Rep. Mannix here in Salem worked very hard on that as well, and it's a good bill. Beyond that, I'm not terribly optimistic until we do some land use adjustments, the 50-year plan. You know, it's the Land Conservation and Development Commission, 51 years old now, or 52 years old, is so good. Not one other state in the country has ever even remotely tried to copy it. So it's another thing that divides us between rural Oregon and urban Oregon. And the governor wanted to build 36,000 homes per year, and we're way below that. We did a little better in 23, but we're losing our builders and developers and contractors, unfortunately. We need to have a much better friendly, business-friendly environment so they can produce homes, build homes, and I want to stay in Oregon and not move to other states, Kyle.
Before we go here in the last minute, what are some of the big priorities here in the next few days for you?
You know, I'm watching the I-5 bridge, and I hate to be a spoiler, but I just can't support that, even though Washington has put up quite a bit of money. The federal government has pledged some money. It's not going to improve the capacity of the bridge. Traffic going back and forth between Oregon and Washington. Bottom line, too, we can't afford it. That money needs to come back to rural Oregon, at least a reasonable portion, a share for law enforcement, certainly our schools, certainly our hospitals. Yeah, other than that, I got a lot of bills that are looking good, and just really glad to be on with you today.
All right. We'll check in again soon. Live from Salem, State Representative Court Boyce. Court, thanks for being on this morning.
Take care, Kyle. Thanks again.
8:40 at the Morning Report.